The Gemara in Erev and Kuftal Rama Beis, the Mishnah, in the middle of the Amid, says as follows. Sher Shenimsa B'Migdash. Again, I'm still dealing with the sugya of what is mutter to do in the Beis HaMikdash versus what you can do outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're talking specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. Sher Shenimsa B'Migdash. Let's say a person finds a dead sheretz in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see where in a moment. And the sheretz obviously is dead, so there's a problem of tum in the Beis HaMikdash. And you have to get rid of it as quickly as possible. And Rashi says the case over here is we're talking about on Shabbos. So the question is, what do you do? A kohen is allowed to use his belt to take it out. Now the problem is that the belt itself is going to become tameh because the kohen himself is not allowed to touch the sheretz because the kohen can't become tameh. So he's going to use his belt, and then the belt is going to be touching the sheretz. The belt is going to become tameh. A kli is not going to make a person. A kli doesn't make a person tameh, so it's not a problem for the kohen. He won't become tameh. But you should make the belt tameh according to the Shita Shalad Asher. It says a tumah to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika says that you should try to, even though you're going to make extra tumah, the kli itself is going to become tameh, but you shouldn't keep the tumah. It's not covered for the Beis HaMikdash to have tumah there. You should try to remove it as quickly as possible. However, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean Rabbi Yehuda's chaylik, and he says, but seves shall eitz. He says you should take the time to find a piece of wood, which is a pshute kliyech, which is not makabel tumah, so you will not be adding any extra tumah. Shalai the rabbi says ha tumah, so that there won't be any additional tumah in the base, making anything extra tumah, even though it's going to end up causing that the tumah of the sheretz is going to remain in the base of Mikdash longer than it would have otherwise. Now, the second issue is mehechem etzion oisai. From where do you remove it? How far out do you have to take it outside of the base of Mikdash? So the first shita is min hahechel, from inside the hechel, min ha'ulam, in the courtyard around the Beis HaMikdash, min ha'ulam l'mizbech, and from any area that is from the mizbech hachitzon towards the hechel itself. So that area also, you're not allowed to keep a sheretz over there, and that's how far you have to remove it. Again, this is talking about on Shabbos. Obviously, during the week, you remove it as far as you can, but on Shabbos, where you're not supposed to be doing, it's a shvus, to be moving something that's muktzah, so you don't want to move it any further than you have to. Divrei Reb Shimon ben Nanus. Rabbi Kiva argues, and he says, Kol mokom shechayavan al zedoinoi kares, any place that if a person is tamei walking in there would be, and if he does it b'mezi, b'chayiv kares v'al shigigos chatos, but if he did it b'shoigig, he b'chayiv a korban chatos, misham b'tzinoi soy, from there you'd have to take out the sheretz as well, because there's a hakpoda, it's bezoyin for hektish to have tumah there, so you'd have to bring out the sheretz from there as well. Now, so the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anus is basically the entire area of the ulam, from the Mizbeach further out towards the Ezos Noshim. That would be where the Machlokas would pay out. Now, Shar Kol HaMakomos, but any other area in the Beis HaMikdash, or once you bring it out to that area in the Beis HaMikdash, on Shabbos, Kofen Alav Pastaka, you would cover it with a large pot, Rashi explains, based on Targum, you'd cover it with a large pot so that you won't be Moisif Tumo. Reb Shimon Oimer, now this Reb Shimon really has nothing to do with what the previous concept in the Mishnah, but Reb Mishnah, as we'll see, Reb Shimon waited till the end of the Mishnayos to finally make his point. Reb Shimon Oimer, Mokem she'atiru l'cha chachamim, any area that the chachamim gave you permission to walk, this we'll see, is talking about if you're outside the tchum, Reb Shimon allows you to walk back inside the tchum, mishalcha nosen l'cha. They really gave it, it was from you, meaning that it was really your area, you were within the tchum anyway, so it's not like we're being makel. Which it's really inside the tchum anyway, so therefore the chachamim allowed you to walk in. Now the second thing is that's the where the chachamim are matir. They're only matir things that are completely mutter. Shalo yitiru l'cha elam mishum shvus, because those things that are mutter are really only mutter if they were an iser shvus. And we'll see in the Gemara this is talking about making a bow on the strings of the kinar and not talking about and not making a knot, which would be an iser daraisa. So the only time that it's mutter is if you're being doing the shvus, which is not deraisa. Now, the Gemara back to the first case in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Tavi bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Hamachnis Tomei Sheretz LeMikdash. If somebody actually carries a dead Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash and is adding Tumah to the Beis HaMikdash, Chayiv. Something that became Tomei from the Sheretz, so you have a Keli. So the Keli itself, if you carry that into the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Chayiv. However, Sheretz Atzmoi, if you carry the Sheretz itself, then you're potter. My time. Why? If the sheretz, which is what's emanating the tumah, what's the logic that should be potter? So the Gemara says, it's based on a pasuk, Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, Misocha va'ad nekeva tishalchu, from a tumah, this is talking about in the context of somebody who is tumah, whether male or female, you have to send them out of the machne. But based on that example, since that's the example the Pasuk gives, we dash mishiyesh leitayra b'mikvah. It's only because this person has the ability or the capability of becoming tahor, that type of thing or person has a chiyuv to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. Yotza sheretz ein leitayra, whereas the sheretz itself, there's no way you could make a tamei sheretz, you can ever make that tahor, you can dunk it in the mikvah all you want, it's never going to become tahor. So therefore, we understand that to mean that the Pasuk never intended for the iser of Taira and Tumah, the Beis HaMikdash, to apply to a sheretz and memela. If you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not chayiv. That is Rav Tavi's chiddush. So the Gemara says, let me try to bring you a raya. It says, so one other drasha we have is that you have to, a person has to be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash, and we darshan prat likli cheres. That is excluding a kli cheres, is earthenware keli. Rabbi Yosi Haglili says, so therefore, you don't have to take a Tamei Klicheres outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, my time, what would be the logic? What is the reasoning, the svara behind why a Klicheres is not included in this halacha? Lav Mishum de Lesley Tayer B'mikvah. Because we know the halacha is that if a earthenware keli becomes Tamei, there's no way to make it tar except by breaking it. But putting it into the mikvah won't make it tar. So, this sounds exactly the same logic as the logic of the sheretz itself, that the svara behind it is that they don't have taira b'mikvah. So the Gemara says, loy, no, really, a sheretz really could be tummy. Me, however, there's another distinction between a person and a kli cheretz. Me shenasa ava tumo, yato kli cheretz, she'en anasa ava tumo. The difference between a kli cheretz is that a kli cheretz can never become an ava tumo, can never become the source of what is Mekabel the Tumah. Rashi goes through a whole explanation over here, exactly how we darshan that a Kli Cheres can never be the source of Tameh. It could become Tameh, and it can even become, we're not talking about an Aviyah Voisa Tumah, we're not talking about that it became Tumah Shiva, because otherwise it doesn't have Tayr B'mikvah either. If it, for example, if a Kli Cheres touched a mace, then it would be Tameh for 7 days. It wouldn't be just Tameh for Harav Shemesh. So Kli Cheres could never be that level of Tumah where it is an Ava Tumah emanating the tumah on that level. So mamela, that's the reason, as opposed to a person could become tameh. For example, if a person touched a mace, they become, they're not the avi avois, they're the av ha-tumah. So a person could become tameh, and that's why they are chayev to leave the Beis HaMikdash. So mamela, we don't have a raya from the fact that a kli cheres is an exception to this rule, because it has a different hesber why it's not included in the rule, because it can't become an av ha-tumah. Alright, let's take on the next level. Lema ketanoi. Let us say this concept of whether or not a sheretz can become tamei is permitted in the Beis HaMikdash is really machlokes tanoi, because we have our mishnah sheretz shenimsa b'mikdash. If you find a dead sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, koyin mitziya behemenayu behemainu shalei lashres as a tumah. As we saw in our mishnah, the koyin takes it out immediately with his belt, so that you don't keep the tumah there longer than necessary. Dibur Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, and Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but tzavas shaleis, you keep it there. It's not such an issue. We wait till we find a pshutei kli eitz mitziya shalei l'rabbis as a tumah, so that there shouldn't be extra tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to explain this machlekes. My lab b'hokam iflagi. This must be the difference. What they're arguing about is demanda amar shalei l'ashes. The one who says you shouldn't wait, that you should get rid of it immediately, because avram machna sheres the mikdash chayiv. He holds that bringing it into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we're so makbet to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash as soon as possible, is included in the Yisr. It applies even to the kli sheres. So the Torah was just using an example of a person, but it really means any tumah has to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash immediately. And the Rav Yehuda, for example, that says that we don't want to have extra tumah, and he's more makbid. He doesn't care that it's going to stay there. Because he says, oh yeah, who cares? If you brought it in, there's no iser anyway, so we might as well make it that we're not adding any extra tumah. So the Gemara says, so we want to be toiler this machlekes in the hezber, in the machlekes of the Tanoim and our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, loy, kulei amachayev. Everybody would agree, really, you're not allowed to bring a sheretz in. Okay, that's... We have to go with this sheet in order to explain the next machlekes, the next line of the Gemara. So really, everybody agrees you're not allowed to bring a sheretz in. So then why, if you're not allowed to have it there, why? What's the machlekes? They're simply arguing on a separate point. So we know that either way there's a problem. Either one way is you're keeping it there, the other way is you're being meisif tumah. Either one. So the question is, which one of these problems are, which are the worst of two evils? It's better to leave the tumah there and not make extra tumah. Marsava afushe tumah adif. It's better not to make extra tumah and therefore get rid of it as soon as possible. Okay, so that is not the hezber of the machlekes tanoim, but rather elikahani tanoi. it's really, if you want to know what it's based on, it's really based on this different machlekes tanam. The tanam we learned in the Mishnah, mehechem mitzi, and I said, from where? How far out do you have to bring it? And again, we saw whether you bring it out of the entire azara or just from the area of the azara towards the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, my love, from Hilchus Tumah's perspective, really, there is definitely an isser for a tamei person to go into any area in the Beis HaMikdash. And even so, we don't have to take the sheretz out of the entire azara. So my love, how could we explain how the sheretz is allowed to stay even in any area in the azara? My love, how come it must be that this is what they're arguing about. The manda amar me azara loy, that you don't have to take it out of the entire azara. Azara, he must hold the machne sheretz the mikdash potter. It must be because bringing the sheretz into that area in the base of mikdash wasn't chayiv in the first place, and that's why you're allowed to leave it there. Manda amar mikula azara kasav chayiv, and Rabbi Akiva that says you have to take it out of the entire azara must hold that you're not allowed to have a sheretz there at all. So that could be the machloikas, whether or not the sheretz is mutter or aser. And you really want to know, they really base it on the same, they use the same pasuk to darshan their conclusions. On the top of Kufhemidal, it says in the pasuk, this is talking about when the Klal Yisrael came back and they found Avodah Zarah inside the Beis HaMikdash. And we know Avodah Zarah also has a Hilchus Tumah regarding, at least with respect to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohenim had to clean it up. So how did they do this? What was the process? They came into the Beis HaMikdash inside. Beis HaMikdash L'tahir, they took to clean it up. The Yaitziyu es kol ha-tumah asher matzu behechol. They took out all the tumah they found in the hechol, Hashem. L'chotzer Beis Hashem. They took it out to the chotzer. V'kiblu ha-levim and the levim. So it switched from the koyim to the levim. L'hoitzi l'nachal kidron. They took it out to Nachal Kidron to destroy it over there. Chutz on the outside. So, now why did we switch from the koyim to the levim? By the fact that it switched from the Kohenim to the Levim in the Azara itself to the Azara Leka, so it must be that there is no issue of having the Tumah in the Azara at all, similar to the way Rav Shimon ben Anas held. Umar Savar ad hecha deloy efshir v'Levim af Kohenim. Really, there is an Isser Tumah as much as possible in the entire Azara. We have to take it out. However, the question is, should Kayanim be dealing with the Tumah? We don't want to be Matama Kayanim as much as we can avoid that. So, therefore, that's why we switch to the Levium. But of course, the entire Chaser is equally as Aser. It's just a question of trying not to make more Kayanim Tame than necessary. So therefore we say, Hashad Afshad Levium, Sulay Matama Kayanim, as long if Levium can do the process, we don't want to make Kayanim be dealing with Tumah any longer than necessary. And that is the machlekes. So it's according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's totally in whether it's better. Really, it's this machlekes of whether it's whether to use kainim or levim is really just a matter of whether we can have another levi do take care of the tumah for you. So on that note, the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Nechnosim beHeichol. Anybody says anybody can go into the Heichol, live nice to build it, ulasakin and to fix it, ulahitzi as a tumah and to remove tumah that's inside the Beis HaMikdash. So really the halach is everybody has a chiv to get rid of the tumah. However, since we're dealing with inside the Beis HaMikdash, it's better, the mitzvah, the proper way to do it is with kainim. In Ein Sham kainim, however, if there is no kain, nichnasin levim, a levi goes in Ein Sham levi. If there's no levim, nichnasin Yisrael, so then a regular Yisrael can go in also. Now, the preference is all these three categories, kain, levi, Yisrael, talking about that they're tahar, tahirin in, tmei and loy. But you should never bring somebody who's tamei into the Beis HaMikdash itself if you can avoid it. So that's the level of the preference, the categories here. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Rav Kahana Messiah Kayani. Rav Kahana used to help the Kayanim. Detani Rav Kahana, Mitoich Shenemar Ach El HaPeroiches Lo Yavoi. So it says that Kayanim are not allowed to go all the way to the Peroiches. Now Yochel Lo Yai Kayanim Bali Mumin Echnosin Ben Ulam Lemizbeach. You might think that a Kayan that has a mum is never allowed to go between the ulum and the mizbeach. Lasses rikuyeh pchamim to fix the covers of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, the parts that are covering the Beis HaMikdash. Talmud loimer ach cholik that the word it says in the pasuk ach el ha-pareichas to the pareichas that there is a chilik that sometimes they're mutzer. So we say, what's the sometimes mitzvah betmimim? So the pasuk is coming to tell us that of course the preference is that you should have a kohen that's completely that's without a mum, he should be the one to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. Ein sham tamimim, if there is no kayin available that is able to do this work, nechasim balei mumin. So then you allow a baal mum to even go beyond the mizbeach to fix up the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, we say the preference is mitzvah, but tahirin. It's better to use somebody who's tahir. Ein sham tahirin, nechasim tamim. If there's no tahir person, you're allowed to use a tamei person. However, in Yisraelim loy. But once again, we see that his preference was that it should be a kohen over a Yisrael, even if the kohen is going to be tamei. Now, so we set up again. Once again, we set up the preference order of priority. However, what about the lower levels of categories? We didn't really set up a priority there. Ibayluhu, tamei ubalmum. Let's say you do have a balmum, and you do have a tamei. You don't have your perfect kayin that's tahar available. Ezehen nichnas. Which one of them is preferred to go into the area in the Beis HaMikdash? Somebody who's a balmum, or somebody who's tamei, but is a, would otherwise be a not a balmum. So Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav. So Rav Chiya says, in the name of Rav, Tamei nechnas, you should allow the tamei. Why? Because he actually is mutter sometimes to actually do avoida itself. Even if Reva the tzibur is tamei, Reva the kohen am tameim, so then anachanami, then even a tamei kohen is able to do avoida. So we see that he is not really excluded from doing avoida. So here, so he's better than a baal mum who could never do avoida. That's Rav Chiya Shita. Rav Elazar, I mean, Rav Elazar argues and he says baal mum nechnas. A baal mum should do it better. Why? A baal mum is never usur in eating kachim. Even if he can't do the avodah, but he's always on the level of a regular kayin to eat kachim. So what do we see? That even though this is like a broken clock, what's better, something that never works and is right two times a day, or a clock that's 5 minutes slow? So Rabbi Lozer Shita is that the baal mum, even though he can never do the avodah, but in all other respects, he is equal to other kayanim. So he's always on the level. He never has, sometimes yeah and sometimes no. Rav Chiya Shita is no, but here you have a person who can actually do avodah. He's even mutter inside the Beis HaMikdash. So further into the Beis HaMikdash, maybe he's the preference, and that's the machlekes. Now, the last line of the mission was, Rav Shimon says that whatever is mutter, really the Chacham say it's mutter from you all the time. What's this talking about? Rav Shimon Hechagoy. What is Rav Shimon referring to? Which earlier reference is he coming to explain? So the Gemara says Hasam Goy is going over there. The Tanan that we learned in the Mishnah earlier. Misha Hechshech Chutz L'Tchum. Somebody who ended up sleeping outside of the Tchum without realizing he was right outside the Tchum. So we say the halacha is afilu ama achas, the chacham, the Tanakama sheet is, even if he's one ama out of the tchum, lo yichnos, he can't come into the city because the maisa was out of the tchum. However, Rav Shimon earlier argued and said, Rav Shimon Oimer, afilu chamesh esrei amas, ama yichnos, even if he's 15 amas outside, he could come into the tchum. Now, what is the hezer? Lefi she'en amashuchais min ma'atzin es amidas, because the people who do the measurements of 2,000 tchum don't really stretch the measurement all the way out to exactly 2,000 amos, because there are those people who make a mistake. Either Rashi says because the people make a mistake in how to measure, or because there are people who make a mistake where the end of the tchum is and they accidentally walk outside of the tchum, so we want to allow them to give them like a grace period. And we say, you know what, we're going to put the marker a little bit earlier, so if you accidentally step outside, you shouldn't make a mistake of saying, oh, I'm outside, I can't come back in. The reality is you're really not outside the tchum by up to 15 amos. Now, so that's on that Mishnah, the Ka'omer Tanakama, lo yichnois, where the Tanakama says you can't go out because the measurement of 2,000 amas is precise. Reb Shimon, yichnois, Reb Shimon said, no, really, you could come in, and that's what he meant, Mishacha Nosn Lucha, that it really, and it wasn't because you were outside the Tchum and were going to be Mekel, but rather you really are not outside the Tchum in the first place. Mishacha, it's really yours. You were really, 15 of those amas were really yours in the first place, so that's why you're allowed to walk back inside the Tchum. So Rav Shimon is saying is, listen, I'm not trying to be Mekel. I'm not a Mekel on something that's Aser. It was really Mutter all along. However, in the contrast, Shalayitir L'cho Elim Mishem Shvus, because even when I said the word Mutter, it's only, I'm really a Machmir, and I try to make things, if things are Aser, they should remain Aser as long as possible, because even when it's Mutter, it's only Mutter al Shvus. But if it was Aser, we would never make it, we would never permit it. And that's, now, Hechikai, where is that going, that... what context is that going on? Where do we have a havamina that we would be matter something that was also? So he says, Hasam Koi is really going on earlier part of the mission in this parak, the Kamar Tanakamo Koishra, that the Tanakama said in the context where if you had a harp or a string instrument where the string ripped and now you have to fix it on Shabbos, so the Tanakama says, since it's a kli avoido and it's mutter to Hechsher Keli is mutter on Shabbos, you're even allowed to make a knot. That was the Tanakama Shita. V'amale Rav Shimon, on that, Rav Shimon in the Braisa actually argued and said, Oinvo, you're only allowed to make a bow. Why? Because he says, well, you don't want to be, we're not matter something that's Issa Daraisa. We try to avoid, if it's Issa Daraisa, we only allow things that are Mutter de Rabbanon. And we explain, Anivo, Deloyasu de Dechi of Chatos, Sharle Rabbanon. So a bow, which even worst case scenario, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, would never result in an Isser D'Oraisa. So therefore they allowed you to do that in the Beis HaMikdash. Ksira, but making a knot, even if a taka would be mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, the Osir L'Dei Chiyuv Chatas, but it could come L'Dei Chiyuv Chatas, or it would be a Chiyuv Chatas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, L'Shar L'Dei Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon were not matter. So Rav Shimon is saying, I'm not really Mekel, I'm not, even in the case of Tchum, I was only being matter because that was really mutter in the first place. It's just we measured the Tchum differently to be more, as a Geder, to be Machmer. So when I said that was mutter, I was only allowing you to do things that were mutter in the first place. So too over here, where it's not mutter, where they can come to an Issa D'Araisa, so we say that it's never going to be mutter.